July 19th, 2016, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains at Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
Ain't that the truth? I'm Errol Strider.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. I'm wearing the same last name for a long time. Welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and always a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw, natural food, delicious and nutritious.
And Universe Spirit, awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
Goodness gracious, is it Tuesday already? You might be asking that very question. Or you may be muttering to yourself, oy vey, where did the week go? But as it happens, goodness gracious is our featured phrase of the week. We picked goodness gracious because we believe these two words are rife with hidden insights, giggles, and uncanny points of view. You think goodness is filled with great stuff? Well, gracious is off the charts. And when you put the two of them together, you're due for an explosion of positive wherewithal. Boy, that should give cynicism its comeuppance. It won't know what hit it or where it went. Goodness gracious! You may respond, and rightly so. It's a whopper of a phrase. So we're about to take an in-depth look at some very positive possibilities, all wrapped up in the words, goodness gracious. And tonight, our conversation will include a special, our zany whimsy combo. Yeah. Oh, expect Professor Umbridge, Rabbi Greenberg, and some other delighting characters to be here. They promised they would. And especially Senator Beauregard is going to reveal some insider information about Donald Trump. So, goodness gracious, stay with us. You don't want to miss that.
My take on this is, goodness gracious, it's everything good wrapped in a big bow. It's so good, and gracious. Curtsy and bow before it. It's yummy, delicious, beatific. It's heaven in our hands, paradise to romp in, sensual like a baby's skin. It engages all our senses, especially the sixth, the sense that takes in all the physical senses and delights in everything. Goodness gracious. What girl. A wonderful ride.
Goodness gracious, girl. Boy, that was a great ride. Man. Give me a couple of those. Hard to take it all in.
It's heaven in our hands, paradise to romp in.
Heaven in our hands, paradise to romp in. Well, indeed, I do romp in paradise every day. Here at Lupin Lodge, 110 beautiful acres, and I get to clean it, by God.
Not all 110 acres. He just cleans certain rooms.
Yeah, the bathrooms and the yurts. For those of you who don't know what a yurt is, the yurt is like a round dome-shaped building.
It comes from Mongolia. Very old and very ancient, but today they make them. They use very heavy-duty canvas and circular. But the inside is like a hotel room, except it has no water. You have queen-size beds, lots of great linens, which Errol makes every day.
I make these linens. Let me tell you about my bed making. It's almost as good as using the bed for sex. Not quite.
Errol's right.
When I put those pillows like under the covers and I examine them, I want to make sure they're just right. Except for the problem that I have. Some pillows aren't the same size as others, so it looks like a little deformed bed.
We live in a place that is going to be 81 years old this summer.
And we have lived here for 3 years exactly.
Today.
It's been, what a ride, wouldn't you say? Have you learned more in these 3 years probably than in the last, how many combined?
Well, I've learned a lot about myself. Gotten more and more peaceful. I feel less and less resistance every day to everything that happens. You live in a resort. Things are always being needed. Something is needed every second. Even the best of resorts, things happen all the time. The toilet goes out. The thing towel didn't work.
This one didn't pay.
It's constant. You're dealing with people, their stuff, and places. I just feel more relaxed even when all the things start going crazy and people start having little tantrums and all sorts of things. We get upset because we don't know what to do. We feel frustrated.
We feel impotent. That's a big part of it. It's the impotent pride combo, which we're not offering as a special tonight. The way that combination works is you feel an impotence, but you have a shame about it. You're ashamed to be impotent. Were you thinking I was saying impotence?
No.
Speaking of importance, this is as good a time as any to bring in Senator Beauregard. I told you he was going to have something to say about Donald Trump. Tonight is the second night of the Republican convention. Who knows what's happening there? We'll find out. One thing we can count on, there'll be a lot of commentary.
Goodness gracious.
Senator, come on in and join us. I know you want to watch the convention, but I'm glad you could take a little break from it. Well, hi, y'all. This is Senator Beauregard, and I'm indeed happy to be here. Well, as we speak, probably, though, right, Donald Trump is being hailed as the hero of all those folks that represent that aspect of that point of view. What I realized about Donald Trump is, as I look at those folks and I feel what they're feeling, and I do feel them, by going for Donald Trump, it's like giving the government the finger. It's fabulous because it seems to be given permission for all those folks who feel disenfranchised a voice. Of course, the paradox is you have a billionaire representing all those disenfranchised folks and out-of-work folks. It's a bit of a contradiction, I'd say, but who cares? They have abolished thinking in some political circles. You just can't even let it in. If they catch you thinking, they're going to give you a special stigmata with the brain cell taped to your forehead with a cross over it.
The greatest antidote to oppression is thinking.
Dumb them down so they're easier to manipulate. We've got the perfect set of circumstances here. This is like the perfect storm, darling, for this collusion of forces to basically re-enslave the populace. It's going right back to when the aristocracy was in charge, like in Europe and a century or two ago, and there was like 1% of those folks owned all the wealth. And here we are again. We haven't moved any further. 1% owns all the wealth. The challenge is, of course, what you going to do about that? It's easy to say, shouldn't be. But in order to make that transition, well, we've talked about this before. It takes some doing and some rethinking, for sure. It's a challenge. Goodness gracious. How you make that change, that's going to be something. But it's going to have to be made.
We are already in that transition. One of the things that has pushed us in that transition is the information age that we're in. Constantly, every day, new ways of engaging each other and engaging the world in which we live are being created. It's like everything else when change happens. A lot of the old ways begin to die. There's a lot of people engaged in the old ways. If you feel like your time has come too soon, you can get belligerent.
Get pretty mad.
I don't want to peter out right now. I still want to go in the mines and dig coal. I want coal to be king again in a world where we don't want coal at all because it messes up the earth.
And it makes their faces really dirty. Ever see those guys in those
dirty
English movies? They're coming back with their little lunch pail. Faces are all black with soot. They had to spend a good part of their life getting that soot off. But I don't want to minimize or trivialize the challenge and the struggle when your way of life and especially how you provided for yourself has
right.
been withdrawn from you. And it's a very scary place.
The kind of leadership we need is the kind of leadership that encourages the creation of new modalities to take care of all the people whose modalities have died.
Hands wearing tattered gloves, small fire where the trash once was, cardboard in a desperate place. Love from down the road drives up with a box of hope, daily bread and a portion of grace. Didn't do it for money, didn't do it for fame, didn't do it for anyone to recognize their name.
Recognize their name.
Didn't do it for the power, did not do it to be great. Just trying to live. Child, such a helpless soul, too young to seem so old, coping the best that they can. Love in the hour of need reaches out to the least of these, sharing a prayer and a chance. Didn't do it for money, didn't do it for fame, didn't do it for anyone to recognize their name.
Recognize their name.
Didn't do it for the power, did not do it to be great. Just trying to live out their faith, for goodness sake.
Just trying to do it for faith's sake, didn't do it for the power, didn't do it for the money. That's a challenge. And that was Joyce Martin Sanders, For Goodness Sake. The other night we were driving back from Santa Cruz, and on the spur of the moment there was a road off to the right, and there's a lot of traffic that comes back from Santa Cruz to Los Gatos, where we live up over the hill. Santa Cruz, of course, having a beach, and this is late Sunday afternoon, and we were going very slowly in traffic, and I see this street off to the right. I have the foggiest idea where it would take us, and it was called Laurel, and we just had a good experience with Laurel. Laurel is where Emily's Bakery is, which we love.
In Santa Cruz.
So I took off down Laurel. I had no idea where it would take me, if it would dead end or nothing. We're driving down this street for quite a ways. What was your experience, Rochelle?
I was terrified. First of all, the road was really narrow, and then we saw a sign that said road narrows, which meant that you couldn't even have one car on.
Last time we saw one of those was in Colorado.
That's right,
remember?
Going up the mountain. It also said road bumpy. And they were right. So it was bumpy and narrow, and there was so much foliage that there were places I felt we drove into nighttime.
It was very dramatic.
I was a little nervous. But I kept my cool. I didn't yell or scream or go, I want out, let me out, though I've thought it many times.
She was very cool. I'm usually very tuned into her, her fears and resistance, because they're so cute and adorable.
Oh, right. Goodness gracious.
Oh, it was good. While we're driving down this road, we happen to be listening to public radio, KPFA, in Berkeley. They were interviewing Joshua Abramson, and Joshua Abramson had a revelation.
7 years ago.
That he was to say, I love you, to as many people, and become the Johnny Appleseed of saying the I love you to people. We were very taken with it, very inspired, and as a result, we've been saying I love you around here, the folks we work with. Now, one of the things he mentioned that stayed with me, a question was asked him, what do you do about the apprehension and all of that? Does that go away? He says, no, it doesn't go away. You're kind of opening your up and you're vulnerable. And I have tried it this week and practiced it and was especially challenged with people that I have a history and not necessarily a positive history with to be able to say it. The fear, among others, is that they'll think I'm insincere, that I'm playing with them. As a matter of fact, one guy did have that reaction, that I was monkeying with him. Came out of his doubt, cynicism, and distrust, no doubt. So I found myself saying, probably do love you, so I might as well tell you. That was my comeback.
I had to preface it with, I told them all about Joshua. I've decided to try it. Say it to you, and it feels so good saying it. The interesting thing is it feels absolutely marvelous receiving it. When you say it to me, everything in me melts, melts, melts. But saying it to people that I don't know, all those things, I think they're going to think I'm flaky, maybe I'm stoned out of my mind, or I'm tripping on something, airy-fairy. So I'm afraid to do it for that reason.
By the way, Rochelle did melt. You may think she's an embodied person talking, but no, it's just a puddle talking with moving lips, saying what you just heard, because she melted into a puddle. I said it to the PG&E young guy today who came out to check the lines in the trees. He received it, took it in, liked it, and was appreciative, and it was visible. Thank you. Wow. Oh, he took it in. That is a great experience.
That's
someone
a goodness gracious.
Goodness gracious, he received my love. We should write a song. Goodness gracious.
Goodness gracious for me was the realization. It was really scary. It was scary to do it, to say it to people I didn't know. I love these two women in this bank where I take our deposits from Lupin every day. I love them. They're really the sweetest people. I could not say I love you to them.
Those are the two ladies you usually give a tip to when you take out some deposit?
No, I don't give them a tip.
But you couldn't say I love you to them.
I couldn't say it. It was such a public arena. There were other people there. Maybe if they had just, the two of them had just been there by themselves, those are excuses. The thing is, I couldn't say it. Found myself not being tolerable with myself for it. What kind of lover am I? I can't say this. I was really putting myself down. And then I realized something. It had to be real and genuine. If it is, nobody's going to think those things. They're just going to take it in. Like this guy, because it was real and genuine and you really embodied it. You weren't coming on. You weren't giving sexual innuendos. You were just saying a heart thing.
That's right. Even though I was naked, which makes it interesting, being naked when you say it to people, because here at Lupin, you're naked. That's another stretch for a lot of people, being naked publicly, just walking around with all your parts exposed. But that's the challenge. As a matter of fact, we talk about different kinds of prejudices and things that we haven't really dealt with as a culture, and racism and thisism and thatism, but nakedism.
Goodness gracious.
or in some circles, nudism, is something to be shunned. It's almost like the last bastion of where we're holding on to false images of ourselves. Why else would you not want to expose yourself if you didn't have a judgment about that which is being exposed and a fear / judgment about how it's going to be seen?
So much of the fear, especially for women, has to do with nudity equals sexuality. Being naked feels wonderful. It's a beautiful experience. But the minute you get somebody looking at you like you're an object of desire and you don't feel the same way, or that's not why you took your clothes off, it becomes very uncomfortable. We're still so young. We can't think of nudity as something clean and free and vibrant.
I wonder, though, if the next generation coming up might be a little freer. I do see that the generation coming up, the millennials and the ones that are just coming after them, the little baby millennials, are much more racially tolerant, it seems.
Yeah.
They see it all the time. We're just being interracial, and it's a good thing.
And television is the most diverse racially medium. People have grown up on it.
Hi, this is Bonnie. In my neighborhood, the diversity, of course, is extent, to use that word there. For goodness sake, you've got all these people of all different looks and perspectives in these neighborhoods. This is like a social experiment here in this country. Can all these folks from all over the place get along? I don't know how they're doing in the West Coast, but here on the East Coast, you know, we've had a lot of practice. What's it like out there for you? Well, we live in a place where it's very diverse. I heard about that in San Jose area, you got all that diversity of people out there. Well, yes, we do.
I haven't traveled extensively in this country, especially the Midwest, where it's more homogenous. I think more and more every state in this union is more and more diverse. Certain groups of people settled in certain places in this country and it became that state. The Norwegians and the...
What, the state of Little Norway is just next to Minnesota, isn't it?
People went to certain places. They sort of dominated the culture. But I think more and more people are moving around the country looking for places where they feel more and more comfortable because there's more and more people like them.
Good evening there. If I may enter in here to the conversation, darling, this is Father O'Malley. And congratulations on your 3-year anniversary of doing this program. I've only been a part of it for the last year, but every week always brings some kind of pleasant surprise of awareness to my own being. Because sometimes when I talk about it there, I'm learning it as I speak. Of course, I speak slowly, so obviously I'm learning it slowly, but maybe it'll pick up a little bit the further along we go. But as far as being naked, it's something that people deal with a lot there. They want to cover up, hide their animal self. They're not as comfortable in their animal skin as much as animals are. For example, I've encountered many animals, and I've never met an animal that isn't comfortable in his skin. But humans, quite a different story there, darling.
Animals have fur.
Not all animals.
All the little mammals, they've got some kind of covering. They're really not naked.
Except for their tails, if you're a rat. I saw a rat the other day, and there was that tail as naked as could be. And for some people, it's very disconcerting, tail of a rat.
Goodness gracious. It's disconcerting for me. Makes me want to yelp.
And you don't want to hear Rochelle yelp. But in deference to what we're dealing with tonight, it wouldn't be a goodness gracious evening without this.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo! I've changed my mind, this love is fine. And if the rain is just great balls of fire. Kisses the baby, feels good. Hold me, baby.
of a sugar. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine. That you're my nail guns and that's what's on my thumb. I'm real nervous, but it's so it's fun. Come on, baby. It drives me crazy. And it's just great balls of fire. Hold me, baby. Well, I often love you like I love a sugar. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine. That you're my little that I went on my thumb. Real nervous, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby, drive me crazy. But this drink is just great balls of fire.
Thank you, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh, that was fun. I got this hit on goodness or good. What does it mean? And I know that something is good when it feels good. It gives us pleasure. And I realized that it's always that way as we move up the spiral of consciousness. But the pleasure comes from different places, like the chakras. First, the pleasure is a low pleasure. I don't mean denigrating way.
Chakras, by the way, just for those of you who don't know, they're little devices that you get at Kmart and you plug them into the meridians in your solar plexus and they have a button and you turn the button on. Remember we knew that guy
goodness
once who didn't have all his chakras?
We do with that man?
He was missing three chakras. But after he died, I found out they gave him back. Because they could trust him with them. We don't know which three it was, but they were an important three. Enough of that silliness. Goodness gracious.
Anyway, so the goodness, so the pleasure, it just moves up the chakras. What gives me a lot of pleasure at this point in my life is the epiphanies that come from my higher mind, to hear that truth that resonates with me at any time, ever. Like listening to that man on the radio the other night. There was such a resonant, it gave me pleasure to keep moving up the ladder. When something gives you heart pleasure, something gives you digestive pleasure, like good food. The pleasure of beauty.
The pleasure of your company is starting to move up the ladder. Friendship, rapport, trust.
Goodness gracious.
We just love those qualities, unless we've been betrayed, hurt, genetically impaired, conditioned in a twisted, distorted way. Years ago, I did a film about poorly attached children for the foster parent program in Colorado. These are babies or young people, children, who don't have the opportunity to bond well with a significant person.
Like a mom and dad.
Or anyone, but someone. What happens to them when they get older? And they really act out in very bizarre, strange ways, often very destructive. They seem to lack any sense of moral responsibility. They can often be cruel, mean to others, animals. It's quite a condition. As I was doing the research, I remember reading once that not all poorly attached children become serial killers, but all serial killers were poorly attached children.
Goodness gracious, that's a fact?
I don't know. I just remember that was a remark. I don't know if it's true or how true, but if nothing else, it's making a point of the need and the importance of connection. Not the least of which is at the beginning when we're just getting started.
That's what the words I love you do. It creates a connection. For some people, it's hard to receive the connection. For some people, it's hard to give the connection. At any given moment, it can switch around. Goodness gracious, it's not easy if you think you don't deserve to be loved.
That goes with the other fear of being rejected. That's a huge fear that so often inhibits and stops so much activity. Someone's going to reject us. Think about in your own life, O ye listener, the times you've been rejected or held back from doing something because of rejection. Professor Umbridge, have you given much thought to that in your perusal of the human condition?
Well, of course, how can you get beyond the issue of rejection? This is Professor Umbridge. People, when they feel rejection, it's not really them that's being rejected that they're afraid of. It's some concoction, as we all create of ourselves, that we put up like a sign that says, this is me, and it points toward this figment of your mind that you've concocted to be yourself representing in the world. And if that self that you put so much time and energy in to make it so that it will be seen, affirmed, and valued, when someone says, no, I do not affirm or value it, let alone love it, oh, dear me, well, that's mortifying. But here's the escape hatch. It's only mortifying if you're attached to the image that you've put out there that you want to be affirmed. As you drop into your core center, you realize who you really are. The very you that is the center of you can't possibly be rejected. But it takes practice, because habitually we will default to the fear that I might be rejected and I will be less than syndrome. Goodness gracious.
But it happens to a lot of people, doesn't it? Happens to me. I have felt that. I understand it. I don't know where it starts. I remember our son saying that, you know, you think just good parenting will be enough for a child, but peer pressure can be so cruel and keep its marks on you longer than anything. It's a goodness gracious when you can escape that. You come out of all those school years unsullied by other kids.
Don't want to get yourself sullied, by the way. If you see a sullying mechanism coming at you, I would get out of the way. As tempting as it is to walk right into that sully and say, I love you. But just remember, sully is a close cousin to silly, and that's what you'll find here on this show. But why go for the close cousin? Why go for the approximation when you can come directly to inside out and get your silliness firsthand, right
off
the boat?
Well, you can if you happen to be listening to Errol Strider.
Rochelle, I want to stop for a second. Think of I can't get a word in laugh-wise.
I can't help it. You are
I do want to mention our sponsors, Go Raw and Job One for Humanity, and how much we appreciate them. Please check them out. Go Raw at Safeway and Costco and other fine establishments.
Just go to goraw.com, and then you'll find out where they're selling it in a neighborhood where you live.
And by the way, there is this phenomenon of climate catastrophe occurring everywhere. In case you hadn't noticed, we'll be noticing more of it as it comes in more often with
intensity. I was just reading the other day about penguins. Penguins are having a really hard time because there's certain things in the cold and the ice where they live. As it starts to warm up, they're going, where am I? Goodness gracious, this doesn't seem like home anymore. Unfortunately for the penguins, that's not a good thing because they won't have a place to go that's cold like that.
I can almost hear them say, goodness gracious. I still have an image of these penguins when it's really, really cold and the men are all hovering real close, covering the eggs, and the women go off shopping, women, penguins, the Safeway. Remember, just before you get to the Safeway, there's this slide, and you saw these penguins slide on their bellies down.
Go to the fish market.
Into the fish market. And then they came back, and the husbands were so happy to see them.
It's a variation on a theme, let's put it that way. Goodness gracious, that man can make a story his no matter what.
I knew several penguins when I was in a previous life down there. I was not a penguin per se, but I think I was a walrus that knew penguins. But not just any sort of walrus. My tusks were so elegantly shaped that people paid a fortune for them after my demise. I found that out when I was a bird in a subsequent life, looking down at the transaction. Okay, I'll stop. Let's get into Gracious. And who better than to help us than Bobby McFerrin?
Starting to wake all kinds of feelings that you didn't know you had, because it's true, it's something new, it's all right. Better than
that was Bobby McFerrin singing Gracious. He's a beautiful man. You ought to look at the cover of this album. This album is called Spirit You All. Love that, Spirit You All. We have a friend that says y'all. He would love this album, Spirit Y'all. Bobby McFerrin, if you've ever seen him live or even on TV, he is one of the most in his body people/performers I've ever seen. What I mean by that is who he is and the full expression of who he is completely congruent with his entire physical affect, how he moves, how he is in his body. That's an extraordinary place to achieve. When you see that, if you don't come forth with a really good
goodness gracious,
then you're missing the picture.
That is wonderful. That's how you become congruent in the state of love, when you realize that if something is amiss, when I would tend to judge it, I can just go, goodness gracious, look at me.
If I could jump in here for a minute, it's so good. I feel so great and gracious about the entire thing. This is Rabbi Greenberg, and I wanted to say something about congruence. You call it congruence, because the truth is, you want to get into that place of enlightenment, Satori, kingdom of heaven, the blessed place of center of the universe, for all is felt and known as one? Well, the key is you have to be one yourself. In other words, the parts of you are not getting along. How could you expect to get into a place where everything gets along? It can't get in. It's not like they'll keep you out, like St. Peter or whoever is in charge now. I don't think it's him anymore. I think it's an Islamic guy now who's in charge of the pearly gates. I think they changed it every millennium. They get a Catholic, and then they got an Islam and the Jews. And never mind. This is a whole other thing
that
we won't get into now.
Goodness gracious.
Well, let me say this, that when you get it together, like get your act together and all the parts that are part of you are all moving in the same direction, and every one of those parts inside of you is saying to the other part, I love you, and every one of those parts is receiving it, acknowledging it, and looking right back at the other part and saying, I love you. And then together, you know what they say? Goodness gracious.
That was really lovely. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
I like the fact that when there's this state of agreement, we find something that we can all agree on. It seems like it would be really hard to find a rational human being who would not respond, even in the discomfort, but respond to the words, I love you. I just don't think you'd be blasé if somebody came up and said, I love you. There'd have to be some response if you're human and alive, even if it's a negative response. You'd have to have a response.
Well, how about you, listener, out there? And if you're with someone right now, maybe you've said it to them before, maybe you haven't, but I would say take a second and turn to this person and say to them, I love you, and see how it feels. I notice, as I've been saying it to different people, that I feel almost instant joy every time, especially if there's no resistance. And that's obviously the part I need to work on, if I have resistance to the resistance. But what I notice is when I drop in to the place within me that goes, you have nothing to fear, and nothing to lose.
Wow, that's scary. You have nothing to fear and nothing to lose.
It's a bargain. You get it in the bargain basement. It doesn't come like on the main floor like in Macy's. No, the bargain basement, because it's one of those pearls of great price that they hide amongst the sheets, towels, and the cans of tuna fish that are nearby in the same aisle.
Goodness gracious, you are just a silly person. You go for the silly.
This is Professor Schnitzel. Errol, I'd have to say to you that you had some kind of silly bug for dinner tonight. It's going on to a great extent. And those of us who have to put up with silliness, there's a certain tolerance level, and then at a certain point in the tolerance, it stops. I would encourage you maybe to back off on the silliness and come up with something bright to say. I'm just kidding. You come up with bright things to say, but then right away you follow them with some kind of silliness. You start talking about the nuns who were in Argentina, for example, and they were bowling. You talked about that one day, and they were bowling, and then they got into a big fight because they couldn't decide who was going to keep score. They didn't know how to keep score in Argentina, and they only knew how to keep score on the English.
Professor Schnitzel.
Yeah?
I think you drank some silly schnapps.
No, I would never touch on the silly stuff, yeah, because it's almost against my religion. I don't have a religion, but if I had a religion, it would be against it. And if I was said something like that, silliness on your husband is carrying on like that, I would say, goodness gracious, that is way too much silliness for any people to have, and they are supposed to be able to say something with some intelligence. Yeah. Goodness gracious.
Right. Goodness gracious is right. Gracious, to be gracious, has within it all this kindness, caring, and empathy, to be gracious. It feels so good when I think of the word gracious, when I think of the act of graciousness. It just feels like I'm included in it. I'm in no way excluded from feeling of graciousness.
That's why surely goodness and mercy and graciousness will follow us all the days of our lives. So if you're not sure, just look back over your shoulder.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Hey! Follow me all my days. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me.
Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Thank you, Israel Houghton, for reminding us. So imagine you're walking in your life, and rarely do we see our backside. Other people see our backside a lot. As a matter of fact, if you compare and do a statistical analysis of how much of your backside is seen by you versus how much is seen by others, you would be very surprised at how the statistics play out.
I don't think you'd be surprised at all, because you know you don't see your backside.
And so right behind your backside are goodness and mercy following you. They're keeping a very close guard over you. But you have to be sensitive to them and aware of them and give them permission by honoring the goodness and the mercy.
That's if you want to believe that they follow you rather than they're with inside you.
You know, I think I like that better. At a certain point, they quit following you because they get a phone call from the central office that says,
"Here we go.
Stop following these people, especially stop following Errol." The last thing he needs are followers. It would be way too challenging for his ego to have followers. Do not follow Errol Strider. Okay, if you're going to be that way.
Oh, he is silly, silly, silly.
Okay, that's
silly.
Enough talking about my silliness. Let's get back to goodness gracious.
Goodness and gracious. There is a sense in us when Ella, our granddaughter, picks up something and gives it to you. I want to go, goodness gracious. It is so, so sweet that she's handing this to you. I can't put words on it. I just feel it, like she gives you a toy, or she gives you a stuffed animal that's hers, or she gives you her milk when she's drinking it, or some water, whatever. She looks at you, she hands it to you. There's something so gracious about that, that sharing, that sense of tenderness. It's tender.
She's practicing to make sure she gets it back, because you know her hand comes out right away. Put it back. That's what they're practicing. Can you give something to the universe, and will the universe give it back? And that's what she's practicing, learning to see if it works and how long it will work before it doesn't. And that's the moment, of course, the betrayal. And we've talked about
that. Oh, I'm going to cry now. You went from goodness gracious to how sad is that?
Well, you can have an how sad is that form of goodness gracious. Goodness gracious.
There's
that was kind of sad. It can be anything. It can be, goodness gracious, like something that's really awful, or goodness gracious, something that's, I never thought of it that way. Or just your average goodness gracious. That was just a very brief taste of Goodness Gracious by James and Bobby. Purify, wouldn't that be some kind of a name to have?
Purify.
Mr. Purify, could you come over here and check our merchandise? He would get that all to see if it's pure or not. No, huh?
I didn't even get that.
I didn't get it either, but it came out of my mouth before I could edit it because I knew no one would get it. But you see, it had already leapt off my lips.
That's an interesting thing. Can you be spontaneous and watch yourself at the same time? And I think so. I think, goodness gracious, I think you could be spontaneous and be watching yourself at the same time. Without making judgments, but you can direct yourself down the path, you know, so to speak, or direct yourself wherever you want to go, whichever starts to come. Oh, I'm going here. This is neat, you know, and just keep following it. But aware that, whoops, I'm going off the road, you know, like driving that car on that road. There were times I thought, oh, my God, we're going to go off this road, down this hill. Whoops, whoops, whoops. Yeah, so there's the embrace of the adventure and the trepidation of the adventure that happens simultaneously. I was embracing myself having trepidation of the adventure.
There you go. It reminds me of just a quick story. I took living up in Steamboat Springs, and I took this walk up the trail way to the top of the mountains, and then there was a beautiful stream, and I decided to take the walk down the stream, climbing over boulders and just, you know, off the trail, and no one would know I was there. And I noticed I had a fair amount of trepidation, but I also noticed that it was incredibly gorgeous, and I was imagining being able to go down there with no trepidation and just getting off on the amazing beauty of the Rocky Mountains.
That's when Errol became a nudist, because he took off his trepidation.
You know, I was almost embarrassed to say it, but I did actually take my trepidation off in public more than once.
I love it.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, yeah. I'm so happy for you.
And we're happy to be here. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We're in the middle of this amazing political time, and I hope people will wake up, and I hope we will start generating the kind of leaders that we really could and need to follow. I want to thank our sponsors, Go Raw and
Job One for Humanity, Universe Spirit.
And I want to acknowledge all the I love yous, and I hope that we have maybe inspired you to say I love you to someone and see how that feels. It's definitely a growth challenge and opportunity. It's the kind of thing that after you get some feedback, you will most likely say, goodness gracious.
And I would say, I love you.
There you have it. So with that, we're going to get ready to sign off. What do we need to remember, Rochelle?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Goodness gracious.